The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Garden Smart e-newsletter, Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the HGTV Garden e-newsletter, the Triangle Gardener magazine, and maybe from Jerry Baker's terrific Garden Tonics. And we will start with the HGTV's Garden e-newsletter. This one is Top 10 Rules for Growing a Kitchen Garden by Marie Hofer. Growing fruits and vegetables is not rocket science, but it does involve science. Here are easy tips to help ensure your success for growing food in the garden. 1. Find the sun. Most vegetables want 6 hours of direct sun a day, more if they can get it. Exceptions include lettuce and radishes, which can get by with less. 2. Start small. If you are beginning your first garden, help yourself avoid the feeling of being overwhelmed with weeding and general maintenance. You can grow a surprising amount of food in a bed just 10 foot square. 3. Build up your soil. The foundation of a healthy, productive garden is a rich, well-draining, crumbly soil that has good tilth. Liberally add organic matter such as finished compost, bagged humus, and straw. 4. Time your crops. Soil temperatures matter as much as air temperature when you're planting. Even peas, which are spring crops that are resistant to light frost once they're growing, won't germinate when the soil is below 39 degrees. 5. Have cover at the ready. Be aware of a late frost and have protection ready. A cloak works at protecting plants from frost in the same way as the cold frame. It can be anything from the traditional glass bell jar, a full cover with hoops, or something as simple as a milk jug that has been cut in half. Simply place the cloak over the plant when frost threatens. 6. Mulch, mulch, mulch. You would not think twice about mulching your ornamental beds, so do the same with your veggie and fruit plantings. A layer of organic mulch helps conserve moisture and suppress weeds. 7. Anticipate animal pests. You do not want unwelcome animal pests making a meal of your fruits and veggies. Talk to your neighbors and try to learn what pests to expect in your area. With the right kind of fencing or screen around strawberries, you can deter raccoons, rabbits, groundhogs, deer, dogs, and other unwelcome visitors. 8. Mingle your plants. Too much of the same kind of plant in a grouping sends "eat here" messages to bad bugs. 9. Stay on top of the harvest. Pick produce when it's ready. Removing beans as they mature allows more of the plant's energy to go into supporting the later fruit that forms. And 10. Do not hide your veggies. Where you can, find a way to integrate your fruit and veggie garden with an area of your yard where you tend to hang out. When the crops are close at hand, you're much more likely to pluck off a bad bug or give a thirsty plant a drink. Next, from Dave's Garden. The fact that I can plant a seed and it becomes a flower share a bit of knowledge and it becomes another's. Smile at someone and receive a smile in return are, to me, continual spiritual exercises. That was said by Leo Buscaglia. And now, Growing Foxglove, Digitalis purpurea by Melody Rose. One of the most beautiful garden plants is also the most deadly. Foxglove, Digitalis purpurea, is a biennial plant native to Western and Southern Europe. Biennial means the plant takes 2 years to mature and set seed. After that, it dies. The first year, it produces a low rosette of leaves that gives no hint of the spectacular show that awaits in its second season. Second season, foxgloves produce a tall stalk of gorgeous flowers. Flowers hang in clusters and have a bell shape. They can be purple, pink, or white and have a pleasing appearance with spotted throats. Most people hesitate to plant something that takes 2 years. However, foxgloves are great reseeders, and after a few years, new seedlings take the place of the older plants, and occasionally, one or two will live longer than the 2 years they're known for. They make a lovely addition to a cottage garden and fill the space in the back of the border with the height and color this area needs to balance the space. The seeds are easy to collect, so you can sow them in other areas of your garden or trade them with friends. Foxglove, history, and lore. These plants have an interesting history, and several legends are associated with them. It seems fairies made friends with foxes and decided they needed help raiding the farmer's poultry. So they told them to slip the bell-like flowers over their paws. Then the hens wouldn't be able to hear them sneaking up to catch them. Foxgloves are said to be loved by the fey people, and when you see flower stalks moving and bobbing when there is no wind, flowers are bowing down to the fairies in respect. It's also believed if you want to attract fairies, plant foxgloves. However, do not cut the blossoms and bring them indoors, because the cut stems attract evil spirits. It thrives on hillsides, forest edges, and in disturbed, rocky, acidic soil. These areas are often said to be where the fairy folk lived. Other legends tell us fairies used the blooms for hats and caps, and if you carry the blooms in your pockets, fairies will surround you. Scandinavian lore tells us if a woman wants to conceive a child without the help of a man, she should brush the flowers over her abdomen. Flowers were also said to be able to raise the dead and kill the living, undoubtedly referring to the toxicity of the plant. There's no doubt digitalis is toxic. Even rabbits and deer avoid them. The plant leaves, roots, sap, and flowers are all powerful poison. There are even reports of children drinking water where the cut flowers were placed in a vase and dying. So it is not a plant to handle foolishly. If you have small children or pets that nibble on outdoor plants, you might not want to grow foxgloves. Handle them with garden gloves, and if you burn garden debris, do not add the dead stems to the fire. Inhaling the smoke can be deadly. The flowers are shaped to invite us to slip over the ends of our fingers. Digitalis is Latin for fingers. But do not do it. If you know someone that has swallowed a piece of foxglove, do not induce vomiting. Call the poison control hotline. The plant was and is powerful medicine. It was used to treat heart disease, as the chemical it contains changes the heart rate and gives the muscle harder contractions. Herbalists used the above-ground parts to make digoxin, and for many years used it to treat congestive heart failure, dropsy, epilepsy, and tuberculosis. It is not a plant for the untrained to tinker with. overdoses, calls, heart palpitations, and hallucinations. Legend has it Vincent van Gogh used it, and the odd appearances of many of his paintings were the result of digitalis poisoning. There are still drug companies that use it, but the compound is carefully measured and monitored to make sure dosing is standardized. Growing foxglove is easy. They ask for little. Plant in zones 4 to 10, giving some afternoon shade in southern parts. The hotter the summers, the more shade they need. They like acid, well-drained soil, and plenty of moisture. Some gardeners claim to be able to keep foxgloves alive for a third year by not allowing the flowers to set seed. They deadhead the blossoms to keep seeds from forming, so the plant's forced to bloom a second time. This practice works, but not consistently. It's better to let the plants reseed and begin again. Since the stalks are so tall, sometimes 5 feet, many gardeners stake them to prevent the plants from blowing over in high winds. If you don't want to wait 2 years for your plants to flower, 1-year-old plants are offered for sale in the spring at many nurseries and big box stores. Foxgloves make excellent additions to the cottage garden and are a plant with some interesting history. Just remember, use gloves and keep children and pets from sampling them. And now from the Garden Smart e-newsletter. A sneak peek from Bonnie Plants by Joan Casanova of Bonnie Plants. Who doesn't love a sneak peek? A secret glimpse of anything is riveting, right? A sneak peek allows us the opportunity to see something before it's officially presented or released for public consumption, and can almost feel like a special access pass. Bonnie Plants, the largest grower and distributor of vegetable, herb, and some fruit plants, offers more than 250 varieties, all listed on their website, which serves as an e-catalog with pretty pictures, variety information, growing habits, troubleshooting, harvest information, and even recipes. Each year, Bonnie adds a few choice varieties they've expertly selected to release or unleash to the public for consumption. In spring 2019, Bonnie will offer 4 new to Bonnie veggie varieties, but these 4 fantastic varieties are not listed anywhere on their website yet. Yup, for now, they're still a secret. Here's your chance for that coveted sneak peek we all crave. Now you can factor 4 more fabulous veggies into your 2019 spring garden plan early, since you now have special access. Hot cayenne pepper. Some like 'em hot. Can you take the heat? If you love hot peppers, then add hot cayenne to your garden this spring. A famously fiery pepper from South America, hot cayenne provides the perfect punch of heat in recipes while adding flavor and spice. When used fresh, canned, or pickled, try adding a hot cayenne pepper to a bottle of your favorite oil or vinegar for an infusion of fiery flavor. With high yields, you'll have plenty of thin-walled, bright red peppers to string into a ristra, an easy way to dry your garden surplus for future use. But be aware, these peppers pack a pretty punch, so wear gloves when handling. Specifications: light, full sun, fruit size 3 to 5 inches, maturity 85 days after planting, spacing 18 to 24 inches apart, plant size 18 to 24 inches tall, Scoville heat units 3,000 to 6,000. And Mad Hatter pepper, some like 'em not so hot. Add interest to your garden and delicious flavor to your meals with Mad Hatter peppers, which look fittingly like little hats. The unique disc-shaped lobed fruit matures from green to bright red, adding ornamental beauty to the veggie garden. The taste, though, is the real reason to adore Mad Hatter. Its slightly floral citrus flavor remains sweet, with just a touch of heat near the seeds. Popular in Bolivian and Peruvian dishes, this prolific plant produces plenty of peppers for salads, pickling, or appetizers. Try Mad Hatter peppers stuffed with cheese for a tidy and tasty treat. Specifications: light, full sun. Fruit size, 2 inches. Maturity, 65 to 70 days after planting, green. 85 to 90 days for red. Spacing, 24 to 36 inches apart. Plant size, 32 inches tall, 36 inches wide. Scoville heat units, under 500. Mexican gray zucchini. For a beautiful, delicious, easy to harvest zucchini, add Mexican gray to your garden. Its lovely green fruit with gray speckles grows on an open plant habit, making a hefty harvest a breeze. No longer will your zucchini hide under foliage until it's the size of a baseball bat. Try this zucchini, delicious zucchini, roasted, sautéed, as a main feature for meatless Mondays, or even as a substitute for pasta. Specifications: light, full sun. Fruit size, 4.5 to 1.5 inches. Maturity, 41 to 50 days after planting. Spacing, 48 inches apart. Plant size, 24 to 26 inches tall. And then finally, yellow canary tomato, a birdie series. Grow a beautiful, delicious, edible garden in very little space with yellow canary tomato, an ideal determinant tomato for urban and patio gardeners. The golden yellow, sweet fruit grows profusely on compact plants, making it the perfect addition to containers and hanging baskets. Plus, the plant's abundant dark green foliage, which contrasts beautifully with the yellow fruit, can protect the fruit against sun scald. If you thought you could not grow tomatoes in your limited space, you will adore yellow canary. Specifications: light, full sun. Fruit size, 1 to 1.5 inches. Maturity, 55 days. Spacing, 18 to 24 inches apart. Plant size, 8 to 12 inches. Plant type, determinant. You'll find these 4 fabulous varieties this spring from coast to coast in Home Depot, Walmart, Lowe's, and in over 5,000 independent garden retailers. To find a retailer nearest you and to peruse the Bonnie website, please visit www.bonnieplants.com. Now, from the Triangle Gardener magazine, a lot of events are coming up. The 24th annual Hellebore Festival, February 15, 16, 22, and 23, and also March 1st, 2nd, 8th, and 9th, from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. Trees and shrubs, cyclamen, galanthus, trillium, epimediums, and loads of hellebores. For more information, call 434-252-1990. 434-252-1990. It's 1 hour north of Raleigh, Pine Knot Farms in Clarksville, Virginia. And Sustainable Vegetable Gardening, February 16th and 18th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. A lecture and hands-on workshop for home and community gardeners. Participants will learn the fundamental principles of growing vegetables, including site selection, site preparation, types of vegetable gardens, soils and soil fertility, understanding planting calendars, watering and irrigation, planting techniques, and recommendations for specific crops. Pest, disease, and weed management will emphasize organic practices. Following the lecture, Master Gardener volunteers will lead hands-on demonstrations pertaining to irrigation, fertility management, and planting methods. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This will happen at Chatham County Agriculture and Conference Center in Pittsboro. And the Winter Symposium, the Winter Garden, February the 16th from 8 a.m. until 12 noon. The variety of speakers, all from different backgrounds and diverse gardens, will help you visualize how to plan and plant for diversity as you bring sustainable and natural elements into your own garden to enjoy as much in the winter as in the summer. There is a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. Call 919-515-3132 for more information. And build a stone wall, February the 16th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Learn from a master stonemason how to build a dry stack wall, including design, stone selection, confirming layout and slope, preparation, stone installation, and final touches. A small retaining wall will be built in class to give you hands-on experience. There's a fee, and you need to pre-register. This will happen at the Sarah P. Dukes Gardens in Durham. Call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707 for more information. And a garden guide training, February 19, 21, 26, and 28, and March 5 and 7, from 9:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Do you have an enthusiasm for nature and the garden that you'd like to share with others? Become a garden guide. In-depth training covers the garden's history and mission, native plants and habitats, plant-animal interactions, interpretive techniques, and program to curriculum, and it's free, but pre-registration is required. This happens at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. Call 919-962-0522 for more information. 919-962-0522. And the Durham Garden Forum, Edible Landscapes, February the 19th, 6:30 p.m. until 8 p.m. Your landscape can be more than simply beautiful. It can also be on your dinner menu. Learn about the attributes and shortcomings of many plants in edible landscapes. There's a fee, and you need to pre-register. This happens at Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. For more information, the number to call is 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707. Garden art, using ornament to accent your garden, February the 19th at 7 p.m. with Bryce Lane. Gardeners of Wake County meeting and refreshments are at 7 p.m. And this will be at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. And then a blueberry and grape production and pruning workshop, February the 21st, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Topics include cultivar selection, budgeting, site establishment, soil conditions and planting, fertilization, irrigation, pruning, harvesting, and resources for pest control. It includes a pruning demonstration at a local farm. This happens at the Johnston County Agricultural Center, 2736 NC 210 Highway in Smithfield. And basic botany and plant growth, February 21st through March the 14th, Thursdays, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. How does a plant grow? How does it manage water and nutrients? What factors influence the production of flowers and fruits? This course will explore these questions and more. There's a fee, and you need to pre-register. This will happen at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. For more information, call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707. And now from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics, a black spot remover tonic. Just like its name suggests, black spot disease causes circular black spots, often surrounded by a yellow halo, on rose leaves. You can set these funky fungi way back by painting every last speckled leaf with my black spot remover tonic. If you love roses, it's well worth the trouble, even if you have to borrow some tomato leaves from a veggie-growing neighbor to make this brew. The ingredients? 15 tomato leaves, 2 small onions, and a 1/4 cup of isopropyl rubbing alcohol. The instructions are, chop the tomato leaves and onions until finely minced and steep them in the alcohol overnight. Then use a small sponge-type paintbrush to apply the brew to both the tops and bottoms of any infected rose leaves. And then no moo mildew. Tired of powdery mildew on your roses? You know, those dirty white spots that start on the leaves and spread to the whole plant? I've got an amazing secret weapon for you, and it's as close as your refrigerator. Simply stir up a 50-50 mix of milk and water. Then spray away with a handheld sprayer. Once a week is about right. Sounds too good to be true, I know. But it really works. Question. I'd love to try my hand at growing roses, but I sure don't want to spend my summer weekends spraying, pinching, and pruning. Can you recommend a fuss-free rose for me? Answer. I sure can. Give Knockout a try. This bulletproof rose is a real beauty, with bright reddish-pink flowers from late spring through frost. Best of all, it's practically immune to black spot and other funky fungi that can make rose growing a real hassle. That means no spraying. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.